Hello and welcome to the Cup of Coffee podcast with me, your host, Tom Dillon. This is usually recorded live at our weekly online meeting and broadcast around the world. However, I was honoured to be asked to host the Pain-Free Property event with various special guests on the 10th of July 2021, and I'm delighted to share one of the highlights with you here. Enjoy.
Now that we've scared you all to death and told you how bad it can be, I am hopefully going to show you how to turn a corner and how to make sure that we can move towards property utopia. So in this section, I'm going to be talking about marketing and managing properties. So let me just share my screen again when I can find the share screen button, and got some pretty pictures to share with you. There we go. Okie dokie. Okay. Fab. Thanks very much for that, Tom. So some of you might have heard me talk about this before, but this is such an important concept that I am going to go through it again. And you might recognise the slide as well. I have spoken about this before. One of the biggest learning points or biggest tools that we use to help us manage our properties and those that we manage for other people effectively is something called an avatar. Now, I don't mean James Cameron's film and I don't mean online gaming. I mean it in the context of marketing. And in marketing, the definition of an avatar is your ideal customer. So in this case, I'm talking about your ideal tenant. Have you taken the time to think about who is your ideal tenant? Now, if you don't have a pen and paper to hand, I'd go and grab one quickly, because I'm going to run through some examples of tenant avatars now and give you some tips on how you can create your own tenant avatar. And this isn't just as simple as, oh, I want a student or I want somebody that pays the rent. It really is not as simple as that. If you take the time and put the effort in, it will really, really help you throughout your whole property management journey. So let me share with you an example avatar. This is hypothetical. Let's say you've got a three-bedroom property, you've got driveway parking, you've got a garden, you're close enough to the town centre but on the edge of suburbia. So who would you want to live in that property? That is the question. And it's not just good enough to say a family. You need to be really, really specific. The more time and effort you put into this, the better and the easier your life will be going forward. So let's say in this example, we've got Tom and Julia. They are a young couple and they've got young children. They really are like your property and would really like to rent it because they have a young family and they are looking for a new school for their children. And it just so happens that your property is very close to a school that's been rated as outstanding by Ofsted. Tom works full-time as the store manager at their local Tesco superstore, and Julia is a paralegal at the solicitors in the town centre. They both work full-time, so they earn a decent amount of money, so that means they can afford the rent. It also means they can afford to run a car each, so your property with driveway parking is very attractive to them. They also like the fact that your property has a garden. They've got young children. They want their children to be able to play out safely in the summer. They also have family support. This means that they've got grandparents nearby that can help out looking after the children. But more importantly for you, can stand as guarantor. So this, we talked earlier about guarantors. They're not a panacea. They're not a silver bullet. But if you can get a guarantor, definitely take one. So they've got some really good strong family support nearby. So I hope you can see from this example, it's not just simply a family with two kids. Be very, very specific. And if you have more than one property and different types of properties in different areas, you will need different tenant avatars. The idea is to have an ideal tenant per property and potentially per location. So if you have a property like a one-bedroom flat in Glasgow, for example, and a nine-bed HMO in London, you're going to be looking for different tenants. So let's take a look at an example avatar for HMOs. And do bear in mind that your tenant avatar will change over time. As a real example, our tenant avatar for the HMOs that we manage in Warrington has changed over the last 6 months. So previously, our tenant avatar for a HMO room in Warrington was a Polish guy called Piotr. He was 25 and he'd just arrived from Poland. He was looking to get a job. He'd managed to get an interview with an agency and started working at Amazon. Now, unfortunately, however you look at it, from Piotr's point of view, unfortunately, he can no longer do that. So under the ending of EU freedom of movement rules, which came into force at midnight on the 30th of June, he can no longer do that. And that's a separate topic as well. Just as an aside, there's something on my YouTube channel if you want to check out changes to Back to Rent. So he can no longer do that. So our tenant avatar for HMO rooms in Warrington now is somebody who's single, aged between 25 and 35, and is coming to the UK for work. Most of the people are coming working in healthcare. So our tenant avatar now is Susan. She's coming from a Commonwealth country. She has good English. She has right to reside here. And she is coming to work as a nurse in the NHS. She's on a 3-year fixed term contract and her starting salary will be £21,000. So hopefully you can see how specific we need to be. You want to also think about what hobbies do they have, what's their mode of transport. All of these things will help you. So we mentioned students earlier. It might be that you specialise in student HMOs. Well, be even more specific than that. Do you want first year undergrads, third year undergrads? Do you want postgrads? All of these student types have slightly different needs and wants and benefits and pros and cons to you as the landlord. Are you happy to accept people who are unemployed and claiming benefits? Will your insurance and mortgage offers let you take such types of tenants? Not all policies will, so do check the small print. Are you looking for somebody who's working full time? Do you insist on a guarantor? Now, if we're looking at Susan, who's our HMO avatar, she won't be able to provide a guarantor because she's new to the country and she won't have that support mechanism within the UK. But that doesn't mean to say that she isn't going to make a great tenant and isn't financially viable. Do you want to offer your property to a family? Will you accept children? This is obviously going to be different if you have a single let or HMOs. The same with pets as well. This is really up to you. Since January, the government have said that you can't have a blanket policy on banning pets. But you can decide on a case-by-case basis. So, for example, if you've just spent £60,000-£70,000 on a refurbishment, you're not going to necessarily want a family with young children that are going to scribble on the walls and cats and dogs that are going to chew all the door handles and door frames. So it really is up to you. Also, bear in mind, if you might have a property, say you've got a second floor, one bedroom flat, if you check the lease, so, for example, with the lease that we have on our property, which is a second floor apartment, says no pets. So under leasehold, you're not allowed pets there, and therefore you can't rent your property out offering your property to somebody with pets. So be very clear on that. Check out people's hobbies as well. Do they go to the gym a lot, for example? Do they like reading? Do they like socializing? Do they like having their friends over when we're allowed to do that again? Do they prefer online gaming? Do they have a bike or a car for work? All of these things can help shape the person that you are looking for your property. So I hope that's given you some ideas of how to create your ideal tenant. It's also worth taking a little bit of time to think about a negative avatar. So who don't you want at your property? And let me give you an example of this as well. I came across an investor at a property meet a good few years ago now, and he had a portfolio of single lets. He said, oh, HMOs, I'll get into HMOs. So he looked for a HMO through a sourcing agent. And he purchased a 6-bed HMO, I think it was. I can never remember where it was, Stoke or Crewe, somewhere around that area. But he didn't actually visit it in person before he bought it. He did all his sort of due diligence remotely, and maybe his due diligence wasn't as robust as it could have been or should have been. So on paper, it looked great because the HMO was already there. It was in place and they had tenants in place paying the rent. What he didn't realise was that most of those tenants were working out their notice and they were looking to leave. And that was because there was one tenant in particular who was a self-proclaimed satanic devil worshipper. Now, I don't know the details, but apparently his behaviour was totally unacceptable to anyone who went near the house. So the agent who was managing the property really struggled to gain access to the property. And basically anyone who went to look at the vacant rooms didn't want anything to do with it. So individually, you'd say, OK, well, that tenant is paying his rent in full and on time. But he's the only tenant paying rent in a 6-bed HMO and you've got 5 empty rooms. So you need to look at the bigger picture. Just because somebody pays the rent in full and on time doesn't mean to say they're your ideal tenant. Steve talked earlier about problems with neighbours, but your tenants can sometimes create or generate problems with neighbours. For example, if they are, they've got a motorbike and they work shifts and they're disturbing people as they come and go to and from work. If they, go on the PlayStation really loudly or play loud music or have parties in the garden at all hours of the day and night. So you need to think about this holistically in terms of who do you want to attract to your property. Okay, so once you have got your ideal avatar or avatars, as is the case may be, depending on location and property, now you can start to think about advertising your property and you want to be as effective as possible in your advert. Now, when many people think about advertising their property, their mind goes straight to Rightmove. Everybody's heard of Rightmove. And certainly when you're getting started, one of the first things you'll do is be trawling Rightmove day and night to check out property deals and run your analysis spreadsheet and just get your head around how to work out property deals. However, once you've got your tenant avatar, you'll see that not necessarily Rightmove is the best place to go. There's actually lots and lots of different channels to communicate and find your ideal tenant. So obviously we've heard of Rightmove, Zoopla, On The Market. There's many other portals as well. These portals tend to focus on single lets though, rather than rooms and shared houses. The other point to note with these portals is that a private landlord, you can't advertise on there directly. These portals are only open to agents. Okay, so if you are a private landlord and you're managing yourself, you'll need to go through something like UPAD or Open Rent, or there's various other portals out there that you can Google. So let's say Open Rent as an example. You set up an account with them. You have to provide proof that you own the property, so title deed or some such thing. And once you're registered with Open Rent, they then advertise on Rightmove for you. So as a private landlord, that's the way around it, and that's how to get on the big portals. Having said that, if you've got a HMO room that you're looking to fill, then as I say, Rightmove probably isn't the right place to go. Spare Room is the place to go. So Spare Room is the Rightmove of the HMO market. There's lots of other portals that have jumped up, been created in recent years. So ones we've tried and come across, Easy Roommate, Ideal Flatmate, there's a new one, Ministry of Rooms. So we're advertising on all these portals, but basically Spare Room is the place to go. If you've got a HMO room, to advertise, then that's the portal you need to be on. And this comes back to somewhat your tenant avatar. So if you have a single let, you probably want to see if you can get your property on Rightmove. If you've got a HMO room, you want to go on Spare Room. So this is why it's really important to understand your property, your location and your tenant avatar. You might have heard of Gumtree. Certainly when we were doing our property training, people talked about advertising on Gumtree, both in terms of looking for deals, looking for distressed landlords, but also advertising properties. We've tried and tested this several times and we just find Gumtree's a bit useless, to be honest, for tenant leads. The number of leads is poor and the quality of leads is poor. And we've never had anybody come through Gumtree that's gone on to rent from us. Depending on your avatar, there are specialist portals as well. So if you've decided your tenant avatar is a third year undergrad, for example, there are specialist websites you can go to that advertise purely for students. You also want to be getting onto the local university accommodation list. There may be a charge for this. Certainly for Warrington campus, we're registered with them. There is a small charge. They also want to check out all your paperwork. They might want to come and inspect your property as well. But that is the mechanism for targeting your ideal tenant. There's also, certainly last year during lockdown, we also joined several portals specifically for NHS workers. So at the height of the pandemic last summer, NHS workers were travelling around the country to fill short-term contracts. So we registered some of our properties with a specialist portal. And don't forget local Facebook groups. I'm not sure if any of you are in like local buy, sell and swap groups or local community groups that tell you about what's going on in your area. There's likely to be a Facebook group for renting properties as well. So certainly in Warrington, there's a few vibrant groups where you can join as a private landlord. So there are rules you need to follow, and it's obviously worth checking those rules with admin. But as a private landlord, you can advertise your properties to rent, and this way you can communicate directly with people who are looking for the sorts of things you have to offer. What you'll also find in these forums is that tenants looking to move will also post. So they'll go, oh, you know, I'm a single mom with a three-year-old looking to move to a one-bed house in this area. This is my budget. You can contact them as well. So it's a really, really quick and easy way to contact people. Be aware that, again, this comes back to your tenant avatar. Who are you looking to attract? So in Warrington as well, on Facebook, there is a group for Polish residents. So what we have managed to do through our contacts and through tenants that have been very happy with us is to actually advertise our rooms and houses to rent in Polish on the Polish Warrington Facebook site. So it's about being creative here, and this is why it's really important to understand your tenant avatar in detail to understand how you can reach those people as quickly and easily as possible. Which brings me to offline methods of marketing as well. These days most people go straight to the phone, but don't dismiss the offline methods. Again, this comes back to your avatar. Let's say you've got a one-bedroom bungalow at the end of a nice, quiet suburban street. Your ideal tenant avatar might be an elderly, retired couple. It's unlikely they're going to be scrolling through Spare Room or Rightmove on their phone. But what they will do is potentially still get the local newspaper delivered to them. So check out the local newspaper. Can you advertise in there? What's the competition like? How can you actually get in front of the audience that you are looking for? Now, I've not used newspaper adverts for quite some time, in all honesty, because of our avatar. We know our avatars are online and on their phones. But when we first started out using newspaper ads, what I would say is print advertising can be quite a lot more expensive. So do check out that your tenant, your ideal tenant, does actually get that newspaper. They do read it, and check out what the prices are. Also think about local shops as well, particularly if you know the local area or you're in the local area where you're self-managing. Are there some independent news agents? You know, in Warrington, there's plenty of these. We would have properties on streets of terrace houses, and at the end there would be like a local news agent. Very often if you go in and just ask nicely, they'll let you put an advert in the shop window. You just put some details and a contact number and the phone will start to ring. The same with community centres, less so in recent times because of the pandemic, but let's say you're looking for a family for that three-bed semi that you've got to rent. Put a notice on the notice board for at the mother and toddler group, for example. But that's your ideal tenant. So you need to think about, how can I get in front of my ideal tenant? And don't forget, the simplest of all is a to-let sign in the window. Now, this doesn't have to be a fancy to-let board like an agent has. Simply get an A3 sheet of paper and write to-let with a phone number on, and the phone will start ringing. People will walk past, neighbours will be inquiring. They might have a relative though, you know, a friend that wants to live close by. Just as an aside here, don't put your personal mobile number on any of these communications. You will soon live to regret it. We certainly have. So you want to get yourself a cheap disposable mobile, a different SIM number, or what you can also do is you can buy like masking numbers or VoIP numbers. So it looks like a landline number gets diverted through to your mobile. The last thing you want is really upset tenants ringing you, or random people who've got nothing to do with your property business ringing you all hours of the day and night. It really isn't worth the hassle. Community magazines as well are a good way of getting in front of the right people. Again, you know, if you're looking for a 25-year-old nurse arriving from the Commonwealth, a community magazine is not the way to go. If you're looking for a local family who have lived there their whole life and want to stay in the area, then it might be worth thinking about. I think Susie, I don't know if Susie's still around, I think Susie has used community magazines for her rent-to-rent and serviced accommodation business quite successfully. So do check those out. And don't forget, you can ask your current tenants for referrals as well. I'm assuming that your current tenants like you and that you get on and that you like them. So they're going to be hanging out with like-minded people. So ask them for referrals as well. They might know somebody at work. They might have a friend coming to the area. They might have family. They have networks and contacts as well. So don't be afraid to ask them. Okay, so once you've decided on channel or channels to reach your ideal tenant, then you want to start thinking about creating an effective advert. Now, I appreciate some of the points on here might seem really basic, but from experience, I have seen adverts that don't cover some of these points. So just use this as a quick checklist. Now, if you're using print media, it might be quite difficult to get all of this information in. Like I say, print media, so magazines, newspapers, can be quite expensive. And that's why you end up with loads of acronyms in newspaper adverts, for example, because people are trying to save money on number of characters and space. You'll be restricted to the number of characters you can use on print media. Be clear on the location. So you don't have to put the full postal address, particularly if you're worried about leaving a property vacant, for example, but do put the street name and postcode. People are looking for properties in a specific area. We often get phone calls from people asking for a property in a specific postcode. They're very clear on, you know, how close they want to be to work, how close they want to be to the friends, how close they want to be to the train station. So think of putting these points in your advert as the first screening part to find your ideal tenant. So there's no point taking loads of phone calls from somebody who wants to, for example, live near a farm when actually your property is near a train station. So this is the first screening point to be finding your ideal tenant. Be clear on the rent and deposit. Make sure that if you're taking a deposit, that's a different topic, but if you're taking a deposit, put that in the advert as well. Now, don't be surprised if people ring you and say, what's the rent and deposit? Even if it is in the advert, there are two reasons for this. One, people simply don't read the advert. Three reasons. Two, by the time they get to speak to you and they've seen the advert, they have forgotten. They've looked at so many different adverts, they can't remember which is which. We often get people ringing us up going, I'm inquiring about this property, and they don't know which property. You've got to ask them lots of questions because they've phoned so many different people, they can't remember what they're talking to you about. We mentioned about pets earlier, so if you do have any restrictions such as no pets or no smokers, for example, put that in the advert. Again, you don't want to be taking calls from people who've got, two bulldogs if you've got a second floor flat and basically the best you can manage is a goldfish. Putting references required, this phrase, references required, in the advert is also really useful. This will scare off people who can't provide references or who have poor credit history. You don't have to go into detail at the moment at this point, but if you just put that in, references required or will be followed up, that will really help screen out some of the potentially rogue tenants that you don't want. Depending on whether you are advertising a single let or a HMO, you want to indicate whether it's furnished or unfurnished. Now, obviously, a HMO needs to be furnished, but if you've got any special features in there, such as a desk or chair or a tumble dryer, which we'll come on to more about later, then do say that. For single lets, if it's unfurnished, then decide, are you providing white goods or not? So we have some clients who provide white goods as standard, which we tend to prefer, because what we find is when people are moving into a new property, they're then struggling to find the money to buy new white goods for the property. So by providing a single let that's unfurnished but with white goods is much more attractive and easier for people to move into. Some tenants will request that you don't provide them, that they've got their own or they want to bring their own. So by having that conversation up front, you can save yourself a little bit of money. For single lets, identify the number of bedrooms, particularly, again, you know, we talked about our avatar earlier, Tom and Julia with two children. Are they expecting a third? Do they want more children? They want room to grow. So we've talked about white goods, but sell the features of your property. You are now in selling mode. You want to get your property out there. So have you got off-road parking? Have you got a garden? A quick look on Google Maps, if you're not that familiar with the area, how close are you to the shops, to the train stations? For HMO rooms, be clear if you've got en suites or not. Some of the properties that we manage for our clients, and some of them online today, so hello, nice to see you, have properties that some rooms are en suite and some are not. So be very clear in the advert as to which room is actually available. Some people are very particular, will only take an en suite room, other people less so. So be clear on that. Room sizes as well. Is it single bed for single occupancy? Is it a double bed for single occupancy? Or is it a double room for double occupancy? This will depend on many different factors, your preference, the size of the room, whether you're licensed or not, or want to be licensed or not. And finally, contact details. For online channels, this won't be an issue because you'll have to set up an account with them and provide your account and contact details when you set up an account. But when we first started out doing this many years ago, I would trawl through the newspaper adverts and I'd check out what the competition was doing. The number of times I saw adverts of properties that sounded great, but people hadn't put their phone number or email address. There's no way to get in touch with these people. So if you are using the offline methods of communication, do make sure that you've put your contact details in there. Right, now I might be going a little bit off piste here in terms of this isn't property management, but this is advertising secrets on how to get your properties filled. So I hope you find this relevant and helpful. So once you have got your tenant avatar, you've got your channel, you've created your advert, how can you improve your advert and how can you make sure it gets in front of your ideal tenant and then you encourage them to contact you? So let's take an example on spare room. On spare room, you can put a headline to your advert. You want this headline or title to be as compelling as possible. So have a look through spare room, see what everyone else is doing. When you do something different, what we found recently is that emojis in the headline works really well. So you'll see some of our adverts will have little emojis in the title. And that just attracts people's attention. As they're scrolling through, your advert needs to stand out. And the first thing people will see is the headline. Think about, are you offering an incentive? So some people will offer, for example, first week's rent free. They might offer a welcome hamper or some sort of welcome voucher. If you are going to be doing that, make sure that is very prominent in the advert. And again, stands out against the competition. What we do in our adverts is add testimonials from happy tenants. So as tenants leave us for various different reasons, we ask them for feedback on their way out and we ask them for a testimonial. And some of those testimonials we can actually then share within the adverts as well. So going into marketing speak, this is what's known as social proof. So this is somebody else saying how great you are and how great your property is, not just you saying how great you are. At the end of the advert, make sure you've got a clear call to action. Again, apologies, this is another marketing terminology, but what this means is tell people what you want them to do next. What you don't want people to do is scroll past and go, oh, that looks lovely. Oh, that sounds really nice. And they scroll past and don't do anything. So the call to action needs to be call us today for a viewing, message us today to find out more. Have a clear call to action at the end of the advert to tell people what you want them to do next. And following on from that, if at all possible, offer them multiple methods of communication. Now, if you're on spare room, for example, I think all you can do is offer a phone number, or they can message you in spare room. If you're using other channels, you might be able to share a WhatsApp number, a Facebook contact, a phone number, an email address. Offer people different ways to communicate with you. This comes back to your tenant avatar in terms of understanding who they are as a person. Do they use Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, for example? You know, I'm certainly finding my nieces and nephews are communicating through Snapchat and Instagram, not Facebook. So it's, again, it's really important to understand your tenant and how they want to get in touch with you. Okay, so let's delve even deeper into advertising secrets. I mentioned earlier that we no longer use Gumtree, and the reason for that is that we did some testing of adverts. So what this means is you can put the same advert on various different portals. So register with Spare Room, Ideal Flatmate, Gumtree, whoever you like, but then track how many inquiries you're getting from each portal. How many viewings do those inquiries turn into? How many tenancies do those viewings turn into? Now, this is getting in a bit into like data management, and I know some people don't like spreadsheets, but this is really, really valuable information for you. Again, it shows where your ideal tenants are hanging out, what they like, how to communicate with them. The more effective you can make that communication channel, the quicker and easier you're going to fill your properties. So check out different portals. We talked about compelling headlines earlier. Test different headlines. So again, you might have predominantly the same advert, but test different headlines and track which one you get the most inquiries through. Now, if you're using Spare Room, there is actually a statistical analysis button on your advert, certainly on ours. We've got a paid for account, so I'm not sure if it's there on the free account, to be honest. But on the paid for account, you can then get a statistical analysis button. So we check this on a regular basis to see how the adverts are performing and testing different approaches. You can test different photos. So whether you're using your own photos, doing professional photos, doing videos, that's a whole topic area in its own right that I don't have time to go through right now. But again, you can test different photos and mix it up a bit and see, you know, do your tenants prefer the nice artistic photos, you know, in soft focus? Or actually, do they just want a clear, plain view of the room and all the furniture in it? So you can make those tests as well. You can test on price as well. So you might have different adverts where the rent is different levels so that you're testing market demand. And be very creative with your descriptions as well. Check out what everyone else is doing. Certainly on Spare Room, you can just sign up with an email address. You don't need much more than that, and see what everyone else is doing. Once you've read a couple of adverts, you'll soon get into the swing of whether, oh, that sounds really good, or that's really naff. And you can basically model the best adverts you're seeing out there. Most of the best adverts, I would say, show all the features and benefits, so how close you are to the shops. It's not just about the property itself. So yes, you might have a double bed and wardrobe, but actually what people are interested in is, you know, that you've got super fast, stable Wi-Fi, that they can walk home from the pub safely on a Friday night, that they can get to the train station to get to work. It's not just about your property, and that's why your tenant avatar comes into play here, because you want to be speaking to them about why they want to be living in your property. Okay, so I know I've gone on a little bit there in terms of marketing. I hope that's been useful. This section is on marketing and managing, so I'm going to spend the rest of the session on some management tips. So hopefully we're going to cover some pain-free property management insider tips. For those of you who are managing your own properties, what you probably come to the conclusion you've come to at the moment is that if you can manage HMOs, you can manage single lets. Single lets are a lot less stressful, simply because there's less people involved. So the lesson that I've learned is that property management isn't really about managing property, it's about managing people. So what I'm going to share with you are some tips that we have discovered throughout our management of HMOs for the last nearly 10 years ago now, nearly 10 years. So some of this will apply to single lets, and hopefully you'll get some value from it as well. So the first point, I've mentioned this a few times already, is fast, stable Wi-Fi. Now, these days, Wi-Fi is almost a utility, well, is a utility service. We personally had some Wi-Fi issues at our house last night, and we were really panicking, like, oh, I hope it's working for today so that we can get online. Our whole lives these days is built around Wi-Fi. We work from home, so having stable Wi-Fi is really, really important. For tenants, they may be working from home during the pandemic, which is important to them. But if not, you'll also find that if they can't get online to their favourite gaming platform, or they can't Skype or FaceTime their family overseas, they get very upset very, very quickly. So Wi-Fi is super, super important. And we spend a lot of time and effort with our clients trying to help them make sure they've got the best Wi-Fi. A few of you online will probably have been speaking to Steve about a system we've installed in some of our properties on how to share the data more appropriately. So if you've got somebody gaming, you don't want the person nearest the Wi-Fi taking all the data and they're like, I'm all right, Jack, and nobody else in the house can get online. You do also want to think about this if you've got a single let as well. So one of the problems we have in our house is that we're still on the old copper BT infrastructure. So even though all these service providers are offering super duper download, super fast speeds, they can't actually deliver that to our house because we don't have the infrastructure, and we're right at the far end, furthest away from the telephony box as well. So, you know, these are one of the points you want to be thinking about if you are looking at a single let. Have you got the infrastructure in place for the tenant? It's not going to be your responsibility, but have you got that to offer to tenants? Now, pre-COVID, we were seeing a trend towards people wanting computer desks and chairs in their rooms anyway. As a result of lockdown, more and more people are having to work from home, so this is becoming more prevalent. So where you do have space, and I appreciate not every HMO room is big enough to support a desk and chair, but if you do have space, I'd strongly recommend, again, assuming that's your tenant avatar, in the 25 to 35 year age group, that you provide a desk and chair. So not only working from home occasionally, but also when they're gaming, they like somewhere comfortable other than the bed to sit on. And also it reduces the wear and tear on the mattress. If they don't have anywhere else to sit in their room other than the bed, the mattress is going to wear out much, much quicker. One of the other things that we do recommend for our clients is tumble dryers. So put tumble dryers in HMOs. Now, again, this obviously depends on space. We do manage quite a few terrace houses that have been converted to HMOs, and unfortunately, the kitchen isn't really big enough to support a tumble dryer. A washer dryer is better than nothing, but again, think about this from the tenant's perspective. So let's say you have a 5, 6, 7, 8 bed HMO with a washer dryer. The washer dryer could easily take 3 or 4 hours to do the wash and do the dry all in one go. If you've got a 7-bed HMO, that basically means each tenant only has one night a week after work when they can effectively use the washer dryer. A lot of our HMO tenants work in the NHS and work in construction, or they like going to the gym. So therefore, they actually want to be washing their clothes on a daily basis. 5, 6, 7 people washing their clothes on a daily basis means that your washing facilities are going to be hammered. So if you don't have the facility to offer a tumble dryer, make sure you offer alternative drying facilities. So whether this is a line or a post in the back garden for when it does eventually stop raining, they can dry the clothes outside or areas inside, even over radiator areas. You'll find otherwise people will put their clothes over the radiator and this pulls the paint off the wall with the damp from the clothes. So it's about being practical, making sure you've got enough ventilation, make sure there's enough drying space. A lot of the HMOs that we have seen don't really factor this into the design. So what happens is people basically dry their clothes 24/7 in the communal space. When you're doing viewings and trying to fill that empty room, having the other tenants' underwear out in the communal space is not the aesthetic look that you were really going for when you had the professional photos done. So do, when you are refurbishing, do try and build in space either for a tumble dryer or sufficient space for drying clothes. Kitchen cupboard space is quite key as well. I mean, this sort of does apply in single lets as well. So you want to make sure that you're providing enough kitchen and cupboard space for a family. But in HMOs, there is a minimum requirement under HMO regulations in terms of the amount of kitchen space that each individual tenant should have. What we tend to find is that people will fit a kitchen that looks nice, but actually the cupboard space is not balanced. So either there's not enough cupboard space for one cupboard per tenant per room, or there's loads and loads of cupboards. And then you end up with loads of communal cupboards where people just dump unwashed pans because they can't be bothered to wash it, or people dump stuff when they leave and then stuff's growing at the back of a cupboard that nobody throws out because it's not theirs. So having appropriate cupboard space, numbering the cupboard space works really well as well. So cupboard one is for room one, cupboard two is for room two. What we find there is people then take ownership and responsibility for their own space. And when people move out, you can check that they've actually cleared out the kitchen cupboard and cleaned it ready for the next person. This also reduces arguments as well. So Steve didn't cover this in his chat earlier, but the number of times we've been contacted by tenants saying, please can you speak to so-and-so in room three who hasn't washed up, or can you speak to so-and-so in room five who hasn't put his dishes back away in the cupboard? And you're just like, why don't you talk to each other? Why don't you ask each other? And they're dragging us into all of these kitchen debacles on a regular basis. If you structure the kitchen and plan it out like that in advance, it reduces arguments between the tenants, and it reduces you being pulled into arguments between the tenants as well. So it will reduce your management. The same for fridge and freezer shelves as well. Again, think of this from the tenant's perspective. If you've got a 5-bed HMO, you've got 5 households in there, not a family of 5. So the fridge freezer that you would buy for a family of 5, like my sister and her husband and 3 kids, is rammed for a family, but they all share, so it doesn't matter. If you've got 5 households in a HMO and you buy a standard fridge freezer which has 4 shelves and 3 freezer shelves, that's not enough space for 5 independent households. You really need at least a minimum shelf in the fridge and freezer per person. So what we've done in some HMOs that we've taken on recently is actually buy mini fridge freezers that we can then allocate to individual rooms to make sure people have enough space. And tenants that have lived in house shares before for many years become really savvy about this. So on viewings, they will look in the fridge, how many shelves are there? They'll ask you how much storage space there is. So tenants who have been through this process before are getting quite savvy on this. Bike storage is really important. We talked earlier about our tenant avatar who might have a bicycle. What we tend to find with HMO tenants is they can't quite afford a car, but they will throw £2,000 or £3,000 at a decent bike. And that's because they're using the bike for transport for work to get to and from work. So secure bike storage is really, really important to them. You know, they don't want to be leaving that outside in the backyard unless there is secure bike storage that they can fix it to. And they're going to be sure that their bike's still going to be there in the morning. A lot of our tenants, particularly worried, so if their bike gets stolen, how do they get to work? And they're going to be quite concerned about that. So that perhaps is more important to them than it might be to us, who maybe just have a bike for social and pleasure reasons. So again, this is really important to think about everything from your tenant's point of view rather than from your point of view as the landlord. Having a regular cleaner is a good idea as well. So yes, the tenants will be responsible for cleaning themselves, but having a cleaner to help in the communal areas is always a good idea. This also gives you an extra pair of ears and eyes to help you keep on top of anything on the property. So again, Steve's got lots of stories about tenants that have had, we've had a property, one of our own properties, water pouring through the ceiling and the hallway ceiling fell down. Nobody thought to ring and tell us about it. We've had other tenants who've called us in a panic saying that they've got a massive leak and literally the kitchen tap is dripping occasionally. So by having somebody else going to the property regularly, as well as you doing the maintenance visits, can really help keep you on top of stuff like that as well. And in terms of cleaning at single lets, this will be the responsibility of the tenant, but you can actually build in regular maintenance visits to the property and, you know, have a discussion with the tenant about cleanliness. So lack of cleanliness can lead to a deterioration in the value of your asset quite quickly. So it is something to bear in mind and keep on top of. Okay, I'm just conscious of time, so I'm just going to share one more point with you, and then we'll wrap up. So the other point, again, comes back to kitchen design or utility room design in having appropriate storage space for cleaning materials. So we've taken on properties in recent times, all the professional photos look lovely, but there's no storage space in the kitchen for the vacuum cleaner or the ironing board or the iron. When we refurbish properties, we make sure there's always space for that, whether that's a separate cupboard in the kitchen, whether we convert the understairs to a storage space for the mop and bucket. What you'll tend to find, particularly in the smaller HMOs that have been converted to HMOs, is that all these items end up just floating around in the kitchen or the communal space. So again, it detracts from the aesthetics, I suppose, that you're trying to create in the first place to attract your ideal tenant. So just think about, can you actually create a cupboard for providing these sorts of materials and features? So I hope that's been helpful. I'm not quite sure where we're at on the agenda, but I'm going to draw to a close there anyway and hand back to Tom.
Oh, wow. Well, excellent stuff. Thank you, Sharon. Some really good stuff in there. Really enjoyed that. Thank you. In terms of the schedule, no panic. I'm right on top of it. Before, true, I couldn't find the title of any of the talks, but now I'm on fire and all is good. So this next session is some lovely Q&A with myself and Sharon, Steve and Howard. So if you have any questions, surprisingly enough, it works better if we've got some questions. So pop those in the queue. In the Q&A, we'll get onto the market. See, we haven't got any open ones at the minute, so I'm going to kick off. And then after this, we're going to have a little break, and then we'll be back with further excitements. Sharon's just shared some stuff with us, prompted me to write down some questions, which as soon as I can find them, will be...
I've got a whole bunch here too.
You fire away first, Howard, while I find mine.
Okay. Sharon, you were talking about tenants before and about avatars. I assume from what you're saying that mixing avatars is not a good idea in HMOs.
No, it really isn't. So so we talked about, you might want to be supporting unemployed people, people with mental health issues, people with disabilities, working professionals, people from overseas. Do not mix. You are creating a mini community. And so you don't want to be, you don't, for example, in a HMO, it would be really difficult for everybody living there. And this is what I'm saying, you need to think about this from the tenant's point of view, not just your point of view of the manager. If you've got somebody who's, for example, currently unemployed and looking for work, they're going to be sleeping at night and awake during the day, but they're going to be at home all day, so they're going to want the heating on all day is the other thing to bear in mind as well in winter. If you've got somebody who's working shifts or working nights, they're going to be out at night and then want to sleep during the day, but the person who's at home during the day is then going to disturb them, and this can cause conflict. So that's why it's really important to understand, and that's why I was talking about the person that bought a HMO with a satanic devil worshipper, is you need to think about this is a community, it's not just on a tenant by tenant basis.
Okay, so we're not sure that satanic worship could be a new niche market, a new avatar.
I don't know anything about it, I just got told it by this investor. I don't even know what what it means in practice. I mean, there might be some lovely satanic devil worshippers out there, just this particular guy wasn't very pleasant.
Just to be clear though, I'm not sure there can be any other type of satanic worship other than satanic devil worship. It strikes me that I don't want satanic and devil mean the same thing. It strikes me you can probably get rid of one or the other. But then I'm not an expert in the field either. But perhaps someone in the chat.
I think the challenge of choosing avatars and people though is it's like no one and the challenge that people have when they're referencing is that no one person ever presents sort of exactly the same. So like you're constantly reinterpreting the situation and the avatar, I think to some degree, having it set in your mind is great, but people present in different ways. And the same problem. Sometimes we still kind of get it wrong sometimes, you know, it's like we're all human. But sometimes the same, that you look and go, oh my God, it's that situation again. It's just kind of presented in a slightly different way, and you kind of, your mindset wasn't right with it. But the avatar thing really, really does help. It really does help. And I think it helps, as Sharon sort of said, when you're writing the adverts, even, you know, just who am I writing to? Like, you'll sort of almost try and write the email or the advert rather for someone, for that person.
Yeah, I was interested in, we've got some avatar, devil worship per chat in the chat. I liked you talking about, you know, coming up with avatars for tenants you don't want as well. I'm guessing you don't draw those, because if you do, I'd love to see like the list of avatars of people you don't want. I'm picturing a devil worship guy, really tall guy for a small house, not going to work.
So you do, just on that, Tom, though, on a serious note, though, you do need to be careful with your negative avatar, that, you know, you're including people like antisocial behaviour, that you don't go into discrimination. So that's really important as well, that you don't discriminate with your potential tenants.
Like a kind of soft example of that is pets, isn't it? You're not allowed to discriminate. You can in certain cases, but you can't discriminate. You can make a judgment, but you can't discriminate broadly against people with pets. The other obvious one is benefits, isn't it? You're not allowed to put, I think I'm right in saying you're not allowed to put no benefits on your adverts anymore. People still do, I notice, but you're not supposed to.
Recently, mortgage agents, where the agents said no benefits, and they deemed it was found to be discriminatory against women, because women were more likely to be the single parent, were more likely to be the child carer, and therefore more likely to be on benefits. And I think that's the issue with it. It's not necessarily, so you just need to think about how you word it.
So yeah, it's potentially difficult, isn't it? So that was interesting. Speaking of that sort of thing, I feel a bit sorry for, I'm going to get his pronunciation of his made-up name here, but Petr seems to have come out of this badly through no fault of his own. He's no longer the key person here. And I'm guessing that's Brexit, is it, that people are no longer allowed to come and work freely?
Absolutely, yeah. Piotr was our ideal HMO tenant, and we had lots of Piotrs. And to be fair, we still do. So they're still here. They don't have to go home, so that's fine. New Piotrs are no longer allowed under EU freedom of movement rules, unfortunately. So our new avatar is Susan, who's coming to work in the NHS.
Wow, it's all happening, isn't it?
And important bit with that as well, Tom, sorry, just to jump in there as well, is with the avatars, one of the things that we're finding with like the changing scene of tenants is new issues when people are moving into properties. So with our Eastern European guys, it would be making sure they're on a UK plug. Guys who are coming from former Commonwealth countries, very often that's what they use in their home country anyway, because it's British systems. Making sure people from Europe know how to change a light bulb, because, you know, they don't use the bayonet fit in there. Mm. New problems that we're getting is we're coming from people who've grown up in modern concrete high-rise building blocks. We had a situation a couple of weeks ago where a lovely Filipino nurse launched a bucket of water into her bathroom to clean the floors, and all the water poured through the ceiling in the room below. Because, you know, it's thinking to remind them, by the way, you're on like a wooden floor, and this is, you know, this isn't a sealed concrete floor sort of a problem. And there's little things that people are doing that we're having to change. We've had a load of African nurses recently. One of them sort of said to me, I don't know, I've never used a washing machine. It, like the village, you know, they're all educated, but they come from a village where they had power supply issues. And she said, I've never used a washing machine. I've never seen one before. And unfortunately, I'm not very good with me. And it's sods law.
As with you,
the most complicated washing machine I've ever seen. So that's the challenges that are coming, I suppose, just for the avatars.
No, it's all interesting stuff, isn't it? Another thing that popped up in my head when you were talking about split testing, but then when it went into taking care of all this kind of stuff, was when a little voice in my head went, yeah, I don't want to do any of this. None of this is for me. And I suppose that's where, and different people have different levels of involvement. So actually, I don't mind the management person. I don't mind the management side, but I want nothing to do with the tenant fine side, because it's all just pain in the neck. And I'd much rather pay a fee. Often it depends on who you use, of course, but it can be around about a month's money or whatever it is for the particular agency. And I'd much rather, in short, if all this, you're listening to it going, yeah, I don't want anything to do with any of these issues. Good news is you can pay other people to sort those problems out for you, can't you? Like you guys, for example.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can go straight for an agent. and do like a full agency service, or you can do pick and mix. So, you know, if you're happy managing the tenancy day to day, you can just outsource a tenant find. If you again, you know, social media is not your thing, you can hire somebody on maybe a part-time basis to manage the advertising and social media aspect for you as well. So there's lots of different options depending on how you want to manage your portfolio.
Yeah, you can chop things up, which is good. It's flexible. I got into this, and for the first couple of years, I thought I had to do all this myself. I didn't realize there was such a thing as, you know, basically people doing it for you. And when you start out, lots of people choose to do it themselves because they want to either learn about it or make them squeeze the maximum amount of juice out of the property fruit. But then very quickly you realize your time might be better spent. You know, we as humans do well because we specialize. It tends to be why we're in charge of the animals, not the other way around. It's because we all do different jobs. And so if someone's brilliant doing that job and can do it for a relatively low price while you're out looking for the next property rather than getting bogged down in washing machine issues, then everybody wins. Literally everybody wins with that. It's a win-win. So that can be another way of doing it as well. Okay, smashing. Let's suggest we draw that bit to a close. As if we didn't have enough bonuses already, I'm going to hand over to Sharon for another bonus. And then after that, we're going to go straight to a second break. Sharon, what have you got for us?
Right. Okay. Well, thanks for that, Tom. Let me see. Okay, right. So hopefully everybody, that was really valuable for you. Oh, not ready at all. Let me just go to my last slide. There we go. Yay. So after all of that, I know I've thrown an awful lot of information at you. So if you have any questions about anything that I have explained or shared with you today, or anything about property management in general, then you can book a call with me. So there should be a link going into the chat box. This is a Calendly link, so you can just simply select the day and time that suits you. You just fill in your name and phone number and we can have a chat about all things property management. So I look forward to speaking to some of you soon.